So we're continuing our series this morning. We're going through the book of 1 Corinthians together. We've been in the book for a few months now. And the verses we're going to be looking at this morning are in chapter 6, verses 12 to 20. So if you want to turn there, before we look at those verses, I wanted to open with some words from Jesus to set the context for the sermon this morning. And those words can be found in the book of John, chapter 8, and I'll read them out for us. It's John chapter 8, verses 31 to 36. So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed him, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." They answered him, "We are offspring of Abraham and have never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free?" Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The son remains forever. So if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed." So far, going through the book of Corinthians, we've seen that the fundamental problem in the church was that they weren't walking in accordance with who they really were in Christ. So from the beginning of the letter, Paul lovingly holds up the truths of what it means to be a child of God to them. Because Paul knows, just as the Lord taught, that it's the truth that will set them free. Just telling someone to stop doing this and start doing that won't work. Or even if it does work for a bit, it doesn't solve the underlying problem. Yes, Paul tells them to stop doing things, but he always holds up a truth to them to explain why they should stop doing it. Right at the beginning of the letter, he calls them saints, called, chosen. He reminds them that it wasn't through their own wisdom that they became Christians. It was by believing the message of the cross that Jesus died for their sins in their place as a gift of grace. But at some point, the Corinthians had veered away from the truth and had started to go down a wrong path. They'd started to go back down the broad path again, the path that they were on before they became followers of Jesus. So in order to get them back on the right path, the narrow path, Paul has to remind them of some truths. Who they are. Saints. How they are that way. By trusting in Christ. They shall know the truth, and the truth shall set them free. They are children of God, but they're walking like the rest of the world. And Paul continues that theme of lovingly holding up the truth to them into these verses that we're on today. So let's read them together. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 12 to 20. All things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be dominated by anything. Food is meant for the stomach and the stomach for food, and God will destroy both one and the other. The body is not meant for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. And God raised the Lord and will also raise us up by his power. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of a prostitute? Never. Or do you not know that he who is joined to a prostitute becomes one body with her? For as it is written, the two will become one flesh. But he who is joined to the Lord becomes one spirit with him. Flee from sexual immorality. Every other sin a person commits is outside the body, but the sexually immoral person sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own. You were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body. So it's clear from that section that Paul's addressing a problem of sexual immorality in the church. And the way he starts off the section reveals the attitude behind why they were doing what they were doing. And it's quite interesting because he uses quotations for the first part of verse 12 when he says, all things are lawful for me. That all things are lawful for me is in quotation marks in my Bible. Now, usually when something is in quotes, it's referencing another part of the scriptures. So I look in the little sidebar of my Bible, and usually it's got a little letter that tells me the part of the Bible that Paul's referencing. But with this, there's nothing there. So who is Paul quoting here? Well, I think he's quoting something that the Corinthians are saying. What they were saying to justify their sexually immoral behavior. They were basically saying, it's okay because all things are lawful for me. But I also think Paul's probably quoting himself, because at some point, I'm sure he's taught the Corinthians that we are this concept that as Christians, we are no longer under the law, but under grace. We know that that's a key part of Paul's teachings, that as Christians, we're no longer under the law, but under grace. One place we see this is in Romans chapter 6, where he explicitly says to the Romans, you are not under law, but under grace. So the Corinthians have obviously heard about this concept of grace from Paul, the wonderful concept of undeserved kindness. But at some point along the line, they'd misconstrued it and taken grace to mean that they could do whatever they wanted. All things were lawful to them. They'd taken the truth of the wonderful freedom that Jesus had bought for them and twisted it to use it as an excuse to pleasure themselves. They'd fallen into the trap of the half-truth, taking one half of a truth at the detriment of another half. So Paul corrects their misunderstanding and he completes the truth for them. Is it true that in one sense, all things are lawful for the Christian? I'm asking the question. Yes, it is. I just want to let you think about that for a second. Is it true that in one sense, all things are lawful for the Christian? Yes, in one sense. But Paul completes the truth for them. All things are lawful, but not all things are helpful. There we go. There's the wisdom. There's the complete. He goes on again. All things are lawful, but I will not be dominated by anything. Again, this is the point. This is the full truth. The Corinthians were just clinging on to this half-truth. All things are lawful for me. Forgetting that not all things are helpful. The sexually immoral acts that were present in the church in Corinth were not helping anyone. they weren't building up the church. They were not serving each other in love, but they were gratifying their own selfish desires. And the irony is that the Corinthians had placed themselves back under the slavery of those sinful acts. They thought that they were living in freedom. That's the terrible thing about this. The terrible irony of this is that they thought they were living in freedom, free to do as they please, free to satisfy themselves. But in reality, all they had done is placed themselves back under the slavery and yoke of sin. They were being dominated by those things. They weren't in control of them. The things were in control of the people. That's the difference. In Galatians, when Paul's writing to the church in Galatia, in chapter 5, verse 1, he writes these words: "For freedom Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery." Some of my favorite verses. "For freedom Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery." This is the opposite to what the Corinthians were doing. They were placing themselves back under the yoke of slavery to sin. All the things that they used to do before they were a Christian, before they became followers of Jesus, they just dragged them into their Christian life, defiling both themselves and the church. So Paul holds up some truths to them. He knows that the truth will set them free. He knows that not just telling them off is going to set them free. He knows the truth is going to set them free. So he holds up a truth for them. What truths does he hold up for them? Well, let's have a look in verse 13. "Food is meant for the stomach and the stomach for food, and God will destroy both one and the other. The body is not meant for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body." Listen, it's really simple. Our bodies are not meant for sexual immorality. They're meant for the Lord. Your body is meant for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. In verses 15 to 18, Paul reminds them that when they became Christians, they became one with Jesus. Let's read the verses together, 15 to 18. "Do you not know?" And this phrase, I just see it all over the place in the book of 1 Corinthians. "Do you not know?" He's just saying to them, do you not know this? Have you not been taught this? Or have you just forgotten this? Because guys, this is the truth. Do you not know this? And he says, "Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of a prostitute? Never. Or do you not know," again, "or do you not know that he who is joined to a prostitute becomes one body with her? For as it is written, the two will become one flesh. But he who is joined to the Lord becomes one spirit with him. Flee from sexual immorality." When someone becomes a Christian, they become joined to Jesus. They become one with Jesus. They become united with him. Part of his body, the church. Part of his bride. So when they're committing sexual immorality, they're not just sinning against their own bodies, but they're sinning against Jesus. Because they're joined to him. They're not just sinning against Jesus. They're sinning against each other in the church. Because we're all one. Therefore, as Christians, we are to flee sexual immorality. They were literally taking the members of Jesus and joining them to prostitutes. But we're not only united to Jesus as Christians, our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes you just say the truth out loud, don't you? And it just hits you again, the magnitude of what you've just said. That your body, your physical body, wherever you're sat right now in your lovely houses, is a house, a housing, a temple for God, the Holy Spirit. If you are sat there this morning and you have trusted in Christ, you are housing God in your body. The Holy Spirit is there inside your body. When you become a Christian, he comes to dwell inside you. And Paul is reminding them of that. He's just holding that up for them and he's saying, or do you not know? Now, that's why I love this phrase, or do you not know? Because it might be that they didn't know that. Because do you have to believe, do you have to understand fully that God comes and lives inside you to become a Christian? No, you just have to trust that Jesus died for your sins. So it might be that some of them didn't even know that the Holy Spirit lived inside them. So he's just saying, or do you not know that the Holy Spirit lives inside you? Then to other people, he's saying, look, I know you know this, but you're acting like you've forgotten it. You're acting like it's not true. Do you not know that the Holy Spirit lives inside you? He's come to seal you as a child of God. And I genuinely believe this, okay? I genuinely believe that 99.9% of sins could be avoided by us simply remembering that truth in the moment, that God lives in us. I genuinely believe that. So when I'm just about to say something unkind to somebody, if I just remember that God's there in me, then I won't say it. Because he's there. Our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And Paul is saying this to them. Corinthians, you are not your own. You are not your own. You've been bought. You've been purchased at a price. You are owned by God. He has bought you with the precious blood of Jesus shed on the cross. Listen, you are his treasured possession. You are his treasured possession. He loves you. He wants you to be his. He doesn't want to share you with anyone else in one sense. He wants you to be his. He bought you with his precious blood. You're not your own. You're not free to do whatever I want, whenever I please. There's an advert that comes on TV at the moment. It says, and the song just gets into your head. It says, I'm free to do whatever I want, whatever I please. But Paul is saying, you're not your own. You've been bought at a price. You belong to God. And the Corinthians had forgotten that. They'd forgotten that. And if we're being honest, saints, we sometimes forget that too, don't we? We forget that we've been bought with a price. Someone has bought us with his blood. And you are his. You belong to him. He loves you. And you are his treasured possession. They thought that the freedom that Christ bought for them was for them to fulfill their own selfish desires. They thought that that's why they had freedom, for their own benefits. But Paul tells them, no, it's not for that. Jesus bought you so that you might glorify God. He set you free so that you can glorify him. He set us free so that we can serve each other in love, not abuse each other. He set us free so that we could build each other up, not tear each other down. As a Christian, you were bought with a price. And guys, grace isn't cheap. Grace isn't cheap. Grace isn't an excuse to sin. Grace cost Jesus his life and his blood to give you. You're not your own. You're God's possession, bought at a cost. So saints, saints, glorify God in your body, remembering that one day, just as God raised the Lord, he will raise us who have trusted him by his power forever to be with himself. I want to end by reading some verses, ironically not written by Paul, but actually written by Peter. But I just found that they really helpfully summarize for me all the things that we've looked at today. And they're in Peter chapter 1, and I'll read them out for us. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 13 to 21. The heading in them, the heading over them in my Bible, reads, called to be holy. Therefore, preparing your minds for action and being sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Since it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. And if you call on him as Father, who judges impartially according to each one's deeds, conduct yourselves with fear throughout the time of your exile, knowing that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things like silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. He was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but was made manifest in this last time for the sake of you, who through him are believers in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. Saints, you are not your own. You were bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your words to us. Thank you that they're clear to us. They guide us. They set us free. Lord, I thank you so much for your truth that sets us free. I thank you so much, Jesus, for shedding your blood to buy me out of slavery. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus, for not leaving me in slavery, but for buying me out of it to be your child. Father, thank you that you love us so much. You want to call us your prized possession, the possession that you bought with the blood of your Son. Help us to remember, Lord, that we're not our own, we're yours. Help us to remember, Lord, that our bodies aren't our own, they're yours. And everything we have, Lord, is a gift from you. So please, Father God, help us, in view of these things, to glorify you in our bodies. In Jesus' name, amen.